David Witter is the author of Old Chicago, not things that don't exist anymore, but Old Chicago that still exists. Hey, David, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us. You know, I'm looking through all the sections and at the places that you're mentioning, and then I'm looking, I'm thinking, well, when was this published? God, are these places still here? Because so, especially in the last year, when we look at bars and restaurants and old things like that, you think, gosh, some of these places are in danger in a way they probably never have been before.
Yeah, when the book came out, I think the book came out the late summer, and that was the height of the pandemic and the chaos. I think we lost Southport Lanes. I know we lost Southport Lanes. It was actually on the WGN television, so it has to be true. They did a segment on that. And then I'm pretty sure that the Central Camera downtown, unfortunately, was somewhat of a victim of the civil unrest in late June, and I don't know if that's gotten back on its feet, downtown. So I think those places are in trouble, and I think, you know, these places have survived for up to, 100 years, so they find ways,
Central Camera,
we've lost those too.
I know when that first happened, the owners of Central Camera vowed that they would rebuild and they would be fine. Not, I don't know if they said fine, but that they were going to stay in business. And Tom is saying that Southport Lanes is sort of trying to survive, that they're trying to come back. So what is the oldest structure mentioned in the book, David?
The oldest structure is the first, it's kind of an interesting, the oldest quote-unquote entity in Chicago is the oldest church, which is the First Methodist Church, and that is like 1831, and that's kind of got an interesting story. It's the First United Methodist Church. You know, a church is not, it's not a, you know, they've rebuilt the church several times. A church is not a building, it's a group of worshipers. So, you know, you can, there's all these little technicalities, and I make my own rules because I wrote the book, so I can say, but it has been around since 1831. Very interesting story. I think we're celebrating Chicago's, 184th birthday on March 4th. So this predates even the incorporation of the city by 6 years, but basically, Chicago was settled by traders and trappers who, I know that you'll find this hard to believe, but they just basically came here to drink. The first actual business is the Wolf Tavern, was a bar. There was another bar, Sauganash Tavern, and they're basically inns, and people drank there. And it was basically trappers. In Indians, Native Americans, they'd be out trapping, for in the cold like this, unbelievably, for weeks, and they'd come into the Chicago River. Wolf Point is kind of where the city started. So they'd come in, and, the Chicago River at the Wolf Point were the three branches. That's the Y that is the city symbol. And they'd go there, and they'd enjoy, finally, a hot meal and a warm bed and drinks and company. But these trappers were also a rough type of folk. They were trappers. They were men who survived out in the country, out in the fields trapping. So these Methodist writers started coming around trying to civilize these trappers. And this was this was the beginning of Chicago becoming an actual town instead of just some kind of stop. So the Methodist writers, they got some guys, who they got to settle down to convert to the church-going life. But there was some quarrels between the Methodist writers and the tavern goers. So what they did is they had the church was like a log cabin, and they actually floated it across the river from Wolf Point. Wolf Point is like, Wacker and, far west, past Wells, I guess. And they basically floated it across the river to where the church basically is now, which is 77 West Washington, and that's how the church started in 1831. And it's kind of, that was the beginning of the quote-unquote civilization of Chicago,
And civilization could be like in air quotes, right? Because we haven't always been the most civil city. So that's our first, so that's our oldest living, say, entity. What's the oldest building that's still standing that you talk about in the book?
Pat's Church. I mean, well, yeah, I think offhand, off the top of my head, I think Old St. Pat's Church, because yeah, these places, you know, the Old St. Pat's is a place that has not changed. You know, I mean, you have these entities that remodel and so forth. So the oldest actual church building is Old St. Pat's. That's, you know, that's on displays like Jackson and the Expressway. That's 1856. So that's an old one. I'm trying to think of some other ones. The oldest houses, you've got the Noble Seymour Crippen House. So that's 1831. And that's in Norwood Park. And then you've got the Clark House, which is 1836. That was kind of a little bit southeast of Wolf Point. I guess you would still be in the downtown area. And for a long time, the Clark House was considered the oldest house in the city. And 1836 is pretty old. That's an interesting story. You know, the woman, Mrs. Clark, said that when they first moved there, they'd smell the campfires and hear wolves howling and, you know, the bonfires of the Indians and so forth. And that house, like I say, it was a little bit southwest of downtown. They moved that, they jacked it up and moved it south to like 55th and Wabash. And that was actually owned by Bishop Ford, you know, the freeway now, the Bishop Ford freeway, the second sure. of the expressway going out to Indiana. And then they moved that back to Prairie Avenue. So the Clark House is part of the Prairie Avenue Historical District. So that's an old house. It's 1836. But the oldest, and they just recently sort of hashed this out, the local historians, and they admitted that the Noble Seymour Crippen House is the oldest. That's 1831. That's in Norwood Park, which is the far, far northwest side of the city. And that was not incorporated as part of the city until...
I was going to say, was that even part of the city at the time?
Yeah, so that was kind of the argument. That's like the little technicality, you know what I mean? So you've got these historians sort of arguing, you know, it's like, I think before you were doing the, I was listening before, you had the Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, you know, well, Michael Jordan played sure. defense. So that's kind of your little technicality. But I think that it's the historical community is kind of admitting that Norwood Park became part of the city, I believe, in the 1890s. I mean, early 1900s. I mean, there's Lakeview. All these neighborhoods were annexed. So you get pretty technical there. And the Noble Seymour Crippen House is pretty interesting. It was way out in Norwood Park, so there was nothing there. I mean, at least the Clark House, at least they were... There were these bars, the Wolf Tavern and the Sauganash and the Green Tree Tavern and sort of Native Americans and trappers and settlers. There was nothing out in Norwood Park. And this noble guy was a Scotsman who came here, and he was downtown, what was downtown now. And he said, you know, this land is all swamp. I can't farm here, which is true. It was all swamps, all wetlands. So he moved out to Norwood Park and started his own built a house, and, you know, he had water out there. In fact, can you imagine? I mean, we're struggling now. We've got central heat. We've got cars. We've got, you know, we go from our house to the car, our house to the garage, and we complain, doing a little shoveling. Can you imagine what it must have been like in you know, Norwood Park with nobody around in 1831 or 1833 or whatever, you know?
It's like living in Texas now.
Yeah.
We're speaking with David Witter. He is the author of Old Chicago. Do you have a question or a comment on some old area of Chicago that you love? 312-981-7200. More next on 720 WGN.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it. Bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago.
1123 720 WGN. David Witter is on the phone. He is the author of Old Chicago. David, is there anything as you've looked through the book and, you know, recorded everything? I love that in the book when you tell people where these places are at, you also mention something about the surrounding area, something they might want to see or something they might want to do. Is there anything you're worried about that, you know, when you go to put out the next edition, like that might not be there anymore, that might not exist anymore?
No, you know, the places, a lot of these places have been around for a long time. Some of them are actually you know, protected. A lot of some were actually landmarks. Now, I don't know what the Palmer House is, the oldest hotel. That was closing. But, you know, like I said, we're talking about Southport Lanes. Somebody will buy, you know, like the owners of Southport Lane, Steve, I think is his name. Somebody will buy that place. It's actually a very cool building. It's a tide house, which means that the Southport Lane that is, you know, is owned by Schlitz. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the concept, but...
I'm not. A tide house? Explain that to me.
Tide, T-I-E-D. And so basically, we'll just get into Southport Lanes and these old bars because it's part of the history. But what they tried to do before Prohibition, you know, the dries, as they call them, and they tried to get people to stop drinking in many different ways, especially Chicago, which was home to Irish and, you know, these immigrants and so forth. So one of the things they did is they made the liquor licenses exorbitantly high so that these immigrants, the Irish immigrant or Polish or, you know, so forth, Italian, could not afford a liquor license. I mean, they're pretty high now, but, you know, they were like, $200,000 in those days money. So what they did, and then Schlitz and these brewers did, especially the Milwaukee brewers, Schlitz and Pabst, they would buy a building, buy the liquor license, build the building, and then either rent it or sell it to the owner, saying that you can only sell Schlitz. So huh. It's kind of like Starbucks, where they controlled everything, the building, the product, the, you know, every product. So that's the way two things happened. So they were able to go around these high, exorbitant liquor license fees, and the Schlitz, the Pabst, they got their foothold into the Chicago market, you know, for selling beer, and eventually they eventually took over. Chicago used to have all these breweries and small and little breweries, but now, you know, there's just pretty much the microbreweries. So you know, long story short, South, it will reopen. It's a very cool building, and when all this ends, I'm sure someone will come up with some, you know, financial backing and open it. So a lot of these places, I think, will open in different venues, you know, different types of, they'll change a little bit, but they'll keep going. You know, maybe it'll be called, you know, some different place.
David, does that explain, I swear I was just recently, I can't remember where I was and what building I was looking at, but I think it's some Chicago restaurant. And on the building itself, up in the brick, there was that Schlitz globe that was like built into the building. So that's because that was a building that they kind of fronted everything so that their beer would be sold there?
Yeah, that's the whole thing of the Tide House. Like, you know, there's another historian that gave me this analogy, but it's just like Starbucks, where Starbucks has the restaurant at Starbucks Place. You get the Starbucks sign. They sell Starbucks coffee.
Yeah, but with Starbucks, it's always called Starbucks. Schlitz had, were they called Schlitz, or would they be somebody's bar, but you had to sell Schlitz because they owned the building and everything else?
Yeah, that was kind of the deal. Yeah, you basically, immigrant people own the bar, but they could only sell Schlitz. And there's a few of these tight houses. There's one on the far southeast side that it's like 100th and Ewing, you know, in that neighborhood, where they just kind of saved it. You know, they've been tearing these down, and they're going to have a brewery there, and then the pandemic came, and I think they just saved that one. There's another one on like 35th and Western. There is one in Wicker Park. There is one on Belmont and like Levitt, that is actually a Starbucks, ironically, I think, doing the top of my head. So these are, you know, this is, so if you ever see that Schlitz globe, oh yeah, Shuba's. Shuba's is one too.
That might be, actually, that might have been where it was.
That's what it means, yeah.
Okay, let's, the oldest pizza parlor actually is Pizzeria Uno?
Yes. Yeah, we all love the food. Everyone always asks about the food. So it's Pizzeria Uno. And that's the oldest pizza parlor, pretty much for sure, yeah.
Now,
the couple came later, Home Run Inn after World War II, but, you know, as far as I know, Uno was the first, which is kind of different because it, you know, has the deep dish.
Yeah, now, that opened in 43. So are we talking about the oldest building? Because pizza was sold in Chicago before then. Are they the longest living? Are they the original? Like, how do we categorize them?
The longest living existing that hasn't been, you know, changed or torn down. Yeah,
it's so interesting. And you know, so many of the areas of Chicago have undergone such drastic changes over the years, and what, you know, how well they're doing or not. You talk about the Anti-Cruelty Society and the building that they're in now. You said when they bought it, when they started really setting up their outskirts of town, really, and when they built the building, their most current building, still a cheap area of town, and now they're in a very expensive area in River North.
Yeah, well, yeah, River North. I mean, actually, a friend of mine, Tom Palazzolo, did a great photography essay on River North. River North was kind of like a mini Skid Row, Clark Street, Clark and Grand, Clark and Ohio. It was like a mini Skid Row in the 60s and early 70s. So, yeah, that area was, you know, and then, of course, just that anti-cruelty, you know, the west of downtown. So if you go a little bit south of the anti-cruelty, you actually had the actual Skid Row, you know. And the city, I grew up in the city. I've been here since, you know, many years, and it's actually gotten much, much better. I mean, it when we were kids, there were a lot of vacant lots, and even, like, the South Loop was pretty abandoned. You know, I worked for New City Magazine for many years, and they were in the South Loop, and, you know, like, when they built, like, around Harrison and what, Harrison and Congress, once you got south of there, it was kind of like this vacant lot, this no man's land.
The city keeps changing. Hold on, David, hold on just 1 second. I apologize. We got to get to the news. We got some questions lining up for you. David and Bill, keep hanging in there. If you have a comment or a question, 312-981-7200. We'll get back to David Witter and Old Chicago right after some News Nation news. WGN. Matt Bubala here with you. We're speaking with David Witter of Oldest Chicago. Not Old Chicago. Old Chicago is a place we used to go back in the 70s. It wasn't really that old at all, and then it got closed out. Oldest Chicago is the name of his book. David, thanks very much for hanging out with us a little bit longer here. We got a couple of calls that came in, so let's take a couple of questions or comments for David. Bill is on chatting about Mrs. O'Leary, I think. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Yeah. Number one, you guys mentioned Peter Uno. The original Pizzeria Uno there at Wabash and, was it Ontario? Yeah, I think of the street.
Sounds right.
But, right. But I used to live in the building right behind that building. They tore it down. When I first came to Chicago in 61, I lived in that building right behind Pizzeria Uno, Grand, and Wabash. Because that used to be an old mansion, I understand, and they could cut it up into apartments.
Okay.
I don't know what year it was built. And also, there's a... I always heard a story that... around the federal building, there is a steel gate that you walk through. I don't know if it's like a gate or an arch, but it's a sidewalk that winds through, like, a grassy park area. And I understood that that sidewalk was laid out. That was Mrs. O'Leary's cow path for her cow when she used to go to the barn. That's what I always was told. I was told that story by a lot of guys that were in real estate and business for years and years where I worked.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And
all right, let's.
It was that one, and also another thing. He mentioned a lot of development. Back when I came to Chicago in the 60s, Chicago's changed a lot because you never went east of Michigan Avenue. That was almost like a slum area because you had Navy Pier, and it was used for nothing. But University of Illinois had a campus there for a while on Navy Pier because I knew guys that went to college there.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Bill. Let me ask David to comment on Mrs. O'Leary's cow path. You know anything about that, David?
No, I don't know about that. I mean, the federal building, I know that the fire academy, which is where they train the trainees for the fire department, the heroes who I heard also on the news that they had some problems, the firemen were injured. Fortunately, they're going to be okay. From what we hear, but they train at, like, just off the expressway, like at Taylor, and I don't know the exact address, but that's further south, and that apparently was, you know, the site of Miss O'Leary's barn. And there's another thing that's coming out that Miss O'Leary had a house in Canaryville, but from what mostly I know is that the O'Leary place is where the fire academy is now. It's basic. I don't know. It's kind of by Manny's Deli, right off the expressway, like around Jefferson and in that area.
I think we have another comment on Mrs. O'Leary from another David that you might know. Hey, David, how are you tonight?
Very good. How are you guys? You guys are right on time. I got some O'Leary stuff for you.
Okay.
The Fire Academy is on DeCoven Street, around 13th or 14th and DeCoven. That's where the Fire Academy is. And that is indeed where the O'Leary farm was. And it turns out that the parents bought for Mrs. O'Leary, built a mansion for her on in the West Loop, and it's now for sale.
Yeah, I think that's just been in the news in the past couple of days, right?
Right, yeah.
Now,
a lot of O'Leary stuff coming across the wire lately.
Now, David, the caller, speaking to David, the book author, I understand that you're also calling because David, the book author, might owe you some money from a previous entanglement.
Oh, no, he owes me a Manhattan. That's what he owes me.
Yeah, and some cigars. I go over there and I smoke all of his cigars, and then when he comes by me, I get the real cheap one. So and then he brings cigars because he knows I have real cheap dry cigars. So yeah, I definitely owe him some cigars.
But David, the caller, is actually my cousin, David Witter. You don't know that, and he used to. You guys used to be roommates way back in the day or something. So David, the caller, you have some like seedy stories about David, the author, that we can share here.
Not that we can share, but there's plenty.
David and I were roommates. And we went to bed every night. We had a glass of milk, and then we went to bed every night at 10.
Yeah, that sounds. That's my cousin, so I know a little bit better than that. David, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. David Witter.
Good to talk to you guys.
it was great to talk to you too, buddy. David Witter, the author of Oldest Chicago. What were some of your favorite things to find? What's something that you probably knew of the building, you knew of the story a little bit, but then you were researching it, you found out something really cool that you didn't know?
A couple things. First of all, the oldest actual, too, the oldest, let's go to bars, which everybody loves. The oldest bar in Illinois is called the Village Tavern, and that's in Long Grove. You know, there's a section in my book, before we go, I got to plug, if you want to buy the book, Amazon or DavidWitterChicago.com. But there's a section in the back about the exurbs, like places outside, treasures outside of the city. This oldest bar in Illinois is 1847. And that's the Village Tavern, and that's in Long Grove. It's kind of up near the northern suburbs.
Yeah, beautiful area.
Yeah, it's kind of, and basically, so that's 1847, 1848, and I guess that was people would go there, it's basically a stopover between Chicago and Milwaukee, and people would go there to get their horses shoed and you know, hay and water and everything, and so the guy just started serving food and drinks, you know, for the travelers, and that's how that started. And the oldest bar in Chicago, which I did not know of, and I grew up in the Lincoln Park Old Town area, but I didn't even know Marge's Still, which is in Old Town, and that's the oldest bar. The oldest bar used to be Schaller's Pump, which is in Bridgeport. That closed. That just closed because I guess the daughters had run it for a while, and when the father, the quote unquote old man, died, they no longer had the tax break. So the oldest bar now is Marge's Still, which is in Old Town.
And as far as you know, Marge's is doing okay through the pandemic?
I was there. No, I have not been around there. I think I checked their website, and when the book came out, I checked with them. And, you know, I went by there, and there were people sitting outside. You know, they had the outside thing on the sidewalk, and there were people eating and drinking, and that was when it was warm. So hopefully they made it through the winter.
Yeah, no kidding. No, hopefully everybody's making it through the winter. We're speaking with David Witter. His book is Oldest Chicago. As you mentioned, you can get it on Amazon or go to DavidWitterChicago.com. A few more minutes with him. A few more comments or questions from you, if you like, 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN.
In the summertime.
11:49, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala here with you. A few more minutes with David Witter, the author of Oldest Chicago. Go to davidwitterchicago.com for some more information on where to find the book and to purchase it and all that good stuff. Okay, David, a couple more questions for you. Let's jump to Donna here on 720 WGN. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Matt. I thought for years and years the Berghoff had bragging rights to having the first liquor license in the city.
Well, we're talking about...
Berghoff actually, you know, I actually started the book because of Berghoff. When Berghoff initially closed in like 2005 or 6, and then you had people, remember that people were lined up around the block every night for a couple
of
months?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, and so I wrote an article saying, okay, here's some other old bars, here's some other old restaurants, you know, if you missed the Berghoff. So yes, Berghoff, you know, that was the oldest bar restaurant would ever. It actually isn't the oldest restaurant, but it's one of the older ones. But it closed and it reopened, so the oldest restaurant is actually called Daly's Restaurant, and that's nothing to do with any of the mirrors. That's on the south side. The Cottage Grove in 69, that's like 1889, so that kind of beats Berghoff by a few years.
I think
Berghoff is a very cool old place.
David,
yeah, they do have the first liquor license, but that was after Prohibition. You kind of know what I'm saying? So they stopped doing liquor licenses, and then they started them again, and they got the first one after Prohibition.
So it wouldn't have been the original first one. It would have been the sort of AD first one.
Right.
All right, let's jump
I don't know whether these other places were grandfathered in or they had to reapply, but technically they were there longer. I love all these little, you know, it's like the Tom Brady, Michael Jordan thing. You get these little technical issues.
Hey, I don't think it was a technical issue. I think that's a very legitimate argument, David. There's no defense. You can't be the greatest team player of all time if you're not only playing one side of the ball. All right, Mel, you're on 720 WGN.
I think you guys were right. I think you guys made a good point.
Appreciate that. Mel.
You guys have a great program going. And listen, I'll try to cut to the chase. When David, did Amarge's open, about what year roughly?
1885.
Okay. That's in the southwest corner. It's still there. And the two signs hanging overhead that kind of jut out almost perpendicular are still there. That's in a street called Concord. It's about 1825 or so on
it's in the Old Town Triangle, yeah. You can't even find it. I mean, I grew up close to that neighborhood, and I still have a trouble finding it. And so that's how it survived Prohibition. I'm sure that they just couldn't find it. They just couldn't see it there. It's tucked away, you know, it's a tiny street. You know, and there's really no through streets that go near it. So, you know, it was just hidden. I actually used to play at the Menominee Boys Club, which is really close to there. It's a cool place, and I hope it's still open.
David, so when you're doing the research and you're finding the oldest places, because these are places that still exist, what was one that isn't around anymore that you wish was? I'm sure you found things that existed for a very long time but didn't survive or moved down or the buildings got torn down. What's something that's lost forever to Chicago that you wish was still here?
The great question, and it's been a great segment. There was a hardware store in Blue Island that was open since, I think, the 1880s. And that closed, I think, 2 years ago or so. It had nothing to do with the pandemic. I think it closed 2 or 3 years ago. There's always somebody in your vast radio audience that has more of a radar. But there was a hardware store in Blue Island, that 100-some years old, and that just barely closed. Mm. That's the one I missed.
And was there any great piece of architecture that you wish still existed?
Well, there's so many. I mean, you know, I've been interested in this since I was a kid, quote unquote. I was always very partial to the Granada Theater, and some of those old movie theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, too, when all this is over, to see what businesses do survive, and after that, what buildings do survive in the way that they are now. We see, I just saw a story earlier this week online, I don't know if it was here in Chicago or somewhere else, about a church that became condos. We see so many times these buildings that maybe survive but turn into something else and live on in another way. And with all these restaurants going through their struggles, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who reinvents themselves or is able to keep going through all of this.
Yeah, I mean, some of the fun places I mentioned, Al's Beef is the oldest Italian beef stand, 1838. That's a real Chicago tradition. Marge's Candies is the oldest ice cream parlor. That's 1921. That's got a great story. Apparently Al Capone went there. The Beatles went there for sure. And one of the older owners in about 1965 said that the Beatles came back, except there were five of them, which indicates that the Rolling Stones might have been there.
Yeah, that does, doesn't it?
I'm sure the Stones, followed the Beatles, and they were sort of friendly, and so they probably, went there. Except there were five of them, boys with long hair from England and guitars.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. They're all alike. Is there any other favorite thing that you'd love people to go see? One last one?
No, just try to go. My message is to go to, not all of them, but as many as you can. The restaurants, try to avoid the franchises. Try to avoid the, we don't want Chicago to be, like every place, so many other places in America where you've got your, you got your three or four hamburger places, a couple pizza places, and your taco places, and a chicken place, or two, the big six franchises. And that's all you have. You might have one restaurant. Chicago's blessed with so many, Italian beef, deep dish pizza, regular pizza. The oldest Chinese restaurant is the Orange Garden. That's on Irving and Damon, more or less. Wrigley Field, of course, people will all go to. But, go to these places. Try to be adventurous. The oldest fish place, fish market, smokehouse, is called Hagen's Fish Market, which is on Montrose and Central. And just be adventurous and explore these places. Get the book or look them up on the Internet and, try to avoid the easy drive-through. And just go to these places. You have drive-throughs also, or they're very safety conscious, but try to explore this. This is what makes Chicago such a wonderful city, and it makes it different from your suburbs or your newer cities. That's what makes it still so great.
The book is called Oldest Chicago. Find it at davidwitterchicago.com or on Amazon. We really appreciate you spending the time with us tonight, David.